You and the Holy Spirit is the ministry session you were about to hear from Mrs. Terry Chapel. Mrs. Chapel teaches at West Coast Baptist College, oversees the ladies' ministry of Lancaster Baptist Church, and also teaches the fourth grade girls' Sunday school class and is the author of It's a Wonderful Life. This session was part of Spiritual Leadership Conference 2010, hosted by Dr. Paul Chapel and the Lancaster Baptist Church.
And I, stomping my foot. I said, Dad's going to be here and we have to be ready to go. And then I couldn't find my socks. And so, of course, it's not my fault I couldn't find my socks. I said, look at this room, boys. I said, I couldn't find my socks. If I wanted to, the way you left it a mess, this is our testimony, and I'm giving the mother's speech. And the boys are just laughing at me. And finally, I just kind of had enough. I said, get ready now. And I looked down, and guess what? My socks were on my feet. And sometimes that's how it is with the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit, but we don't remember Him. We're looking for Him to help us, but we forget that we already have them. And so in the busyness and the chaos of ministry and day-to-day life, sometimes we could get so busy that we forget that we already have the Holy Spirit ready and willing to help us. We just don't ask Him to. Now someone said, to attempt the work of God with only the ability of man or just ourself is foolish. Your greatest need as a child of God is to have the fullness of the Spirit of God. If your approach in accomplishing God's plan for your life is to do so under your own power, you of all men will be most disappointed. Or, ladies, you'll be standing there stomping your feet saying, God, why aren't you helping me? Maybe you're a new pastor's wife or new in the ministry, or maybe you're just overwhelmed with ministry. And sometimes in that situation, we also forget the Holy Spirit. Again, when our children were small, we had gone to whitewater rafting. And I didn't think Matthew, he was only about 3 or 4. I thought he was going to be too young and I could stay off the whitewater rafting and not go with them. But the guy said, oh, no, he can go. And I was just overwhelmed thinking that, there's only 2 of adults and 4 children if they, fall out of the boat or the raft, that means I have to get one child with one arm and another child with another one and my husband. And I'm not that great of a swimmer. So I'm starting to panic and get fearful. And it was very evident in my face. I was looking every way to get out of it. We get to they bus you to this area where they give you these life jackets. So I am getting ones for my children and they hand me 2. One fits me, and the other one is the exact same size for Matthew, who's just a little guy. I mean, you put it on him, you couldn't even see his face anymore. he would fall right out of that. I thought, oh, this is comforting. He's got a life jacket that's not going to stay on. And so I think the guide realized that I was just a little bit nervous about my children going. And finally, he said, you know what? If you'll just follow me and listen to my instructions, and do as I say, we're going to make it to our destination. And he said it with the authority of a man that has gone down the river 3,000 times before. And sure enough, we got in. Then he puts Matthew in the very, all my children, but the very front of the raft was Matthew. And I'm thinking, oh boy, he's going to be the first one to hit something and fall out. But you know what? Do you know who had the best time on that river rafting? It was me when I finally decided the guide knew what he was doing. And we had a great time. When those rapids came and there was a rock in the thing, the guide would tell us exactly where to put our oar and what to do. And we followed his instructions and we made it through with barely even getting wet. And so the Holy Spirit, again, is with us. And he's going to help us get to our destination if we will follow and obey him. That was all just introduction to tell you. We're going to speak today about you and the Holy Spirit. Go ahead and turn into your Bibles to Ephesians 5:18. I think I say this every time I speak. I say, this is one of my favorite portions of Scripture. So I'm going to say it again. This is one of my favorite portions of Scripture. It is one of the ones I think I go to every time in counseling, whether it's counseling me or somebody else. It says in Ephesians 5:18, and let's read it together. It's a common, familiar verses for all of us. And let's read from 18 to verse 20. Ready, begin. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Father, I love you. I thank you so much for every lady that is here. And thank you for giving them safe traveling journeys. And Lord, thank you for the services that we've heard so far. All the messages have been a help and a blessing. And Lord, I pray that now as you meet with us, Lord, that we'll be attentive to the words of your scripture. And Lord, that we just won't be hearers only, but we'll be doers as well. And I pray, Lord, that with me, that you'll help me to say exactly what you want me to say. And Lord, I pray if there's anything that you don't want said, that you'll help me to forget it. I pray that everything I say won't be my own words, but be what you would expressly want for this session right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. First, we're going to see that there is a command to be Spirit-filled. So number one in your notes, it's the command. And God does command us in verse 18 to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He says in Galatians 5:16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." And we see in both of those verses, it's a command that we should walk in the Spirit. We should be filled in the Spirit. It's not a suggestion or a proposition or a hint, or if you have time, you know, be filled with the Spirit. It is a command. And do you know why he commands us to be filled with the Spirit? Because we have the ability not to be filled. And so it's not something, we get the Holy Spirit at salvation, but being filled is a daily, sometimes minute by minute, decision on our part. It also says, and all of us have probably heard, that the word filled there means to be controlled, like as an alcohol. I think my husband even mentioned it last night in his message. Well, firsthand, I know what alcohol can do. Not firsthand with me, by the way. But I have seen very closely what alcohol can do in a home and to a person. They are totally controlled. How they think, what they say, how they act. Their destiny is controlled by that alcohol. And you know what? That's what the Lord wants for us. He wants our thoughts, our words, our actions. He wants our destiny to be controlled by Him, by the Holy Spirit. And so it is a command. If we are to please God, we must be filled or yielded to the Holy Spirit. Now there's a positive letter A in your note. There's a positive note about this command. And one, it's for everyone. I am so thrilled that God allows us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not just for the pastors. It's not for just our husbands or for all the men or just for Americans. God says that every saved person can be filled with the Holy Spirit. So that's a positive with the command. A lot of times we think commands are just bad, you know, but this is a good part, that it is for everyone. Another thing that I thought about it being positive is that He provides for us the necessary means in fulfilling of the Holy Spirit. So He gives us the ability to be fulfilled. It's something that we can do, and He gives us that power. And He never asks us to do anything that He won't help us to accomplish in our lives. So that's the positive. It's for everyone. He's going to help us. He's going to give us the ability to be fulfilled with the Holy Spirit. And so that is the positive. But there's also a negative part, because He says, and be not drunk with wine. So that's the negative, not to be controlled by anything else. And you know, I have no problem with not touching alcohol. I'm not going to be controlled by alcohol. I don't want to drink. I don't have any desire to drink. But there's other things that can control my life just as much. And usually it's me. It's that selfishness that I have. And I took a spiritual gift test, and it says that one of my gifts is giving. I don't know. I know me better than that spiritual gift test. I must have answered it wrong, because I know that selfishness inside me just pops up all the time, wanting something to be my way, or wanting to do this, or wanting to see how it's going to turn out, and having that selfishness. Sometimes friends can control us. Maybe if you have a teenager, we see that a lot with children, where friends will control our actions and our deeds. Maybe it's money. Maybe we Some people will do things just so they can get more money or success or acceptance. So there's a lot of little things that can just push the Holy Spirit off the throne and get us back in control or somebody else. So the negative is not to be controlled by anything else, and then not to quench the Holy Spirit because of sin in our life. So the first time I feel like I'm not being fulfilled with the Holy Spirit, then I know I need to check and make sure there's not anything in my life that is hindering the Holy Spirit to work in my life. And so we don't want to quench the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, quench not the Spirit. And so positively, God's going to help us do it. But on the negative side, he tells us, you do your part. You stay away from those things that will not let the Holy Spirit work or will quench his Spirit. Number two, we see it's a choice. You see, the filling of the Holy Spirit is a command, and it's a choice that we need to make. And letter A in your notes is desire. We need to have a sincere desire to be controlled and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Matthew 5:6 says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now, I desire sometimes a lot of things. Like right now, I desire to learn Spanish, to lose weight, to be healthy. And those are just to name a few. But you know what? I don't know Spanish. And so that desire is not just, sometimes we say, oh yeah, I desire to know the Lord better. Or I desire something, but our actions don't follow along. We don't make that effort to make sure that it's happening. And you know, the reason why I don't do it is because I'm satisfied with the way things are. Right now, I can say a few vocabulary words in Spanish, enough to say hello, how are you, talk about food. I can say I'm tired. I can say there's a lot of people. I mean, I can say a few things. So I'm satisfied, and our sweet ladies in our Spanish ministry, bless their hearts, they're learning English. So I don't have to learn Spanish because they can talk to me better than I can talk to them, and I'm content to listen. So a lot of times we get satisfied with where we are, but we need to make sure that we have the desire to have the filling of the Holy Spirit. In Psalm 63:1 says, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. See, there's that action that we're going to do what God wants us to do in order for it to happen. My soul thirsts for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Now, Watchman Nee wrote a book, and in his book, he tells a story about a man that came and said, what is the secret to having the power of the Holy Spirit? And so Watchman Nee took this man to a river that was close by, and all of a sudden, he took the back of his neck, and he pushed his head underneath the water, and he held his head under that water. And the man is thinking, you know, what is he doing? And for a few more seconds, he said, what is he doing, really? I can't breathe. And he thought, is he trying to, you know, drown me? And then all of a sudden, that instinct for air kicked in. That desire to want air so bad. He started kicking and throwing his arms, and Watchman Nee held onto him as hard and as firm as he could. But the man finally let loose, and he came up grasping for air. And Watchman Nee told him, when you desire to have the power of the Holy Spirit like you desired that air, then God will give it to you. That's the desire that we're talking about. Not just, oh, I want to be controlled by the Holy Spirit, but to really have the desire to have the Lord in control. A Christian must come to the reality that if he's going to please God, he must be filled with the Holy Spirit. So many Christians are content with just the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and not the filling. Letter B, we need to surrender. We had a really cute yellow lab for many years, and she was such a good dog. Now, you'll see in a minute, she wasn't well-trained. I could get her to sit. That was the only thing in the dog. Every time I saw her, sit, sit. But she, every time we'd open the back door, she'd come running with her ball to us, and she would drop it at our feet. She'd want us to throw the ball. So we'd pick up the ball, we'd throw it. She'd run, and she'd bring it back. But when she brought it back, she would never let go of the ball. And we'd say, Crispy, let go. Give me the ball. You know, she played tug of war, and she wanted you to throw it again, but she wanted to hold on to that ball. And so somebody told me, well, you can't say things like, let it go, and give me the ball, like you're talking to it like a human. You have to use short words, like one word. So we tried, release. And she just looked at us wagging her tail, like, throw the ball again. And then we tried, relinquish. We tried every word to let go of that ball. Repent, do something. And finally, we just give up, and she never got to chase the ball more than one time in a day. But sometimes that's how it is with us. We say, Lord, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Fill me with your Spirit. But we don't let go. And we stand there and say, Lord, fill me, fill me, fill me. And we hold on to our own desires, our own plans, our own wants. And so we need to make sure that we surrender. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. God wants us to give our all, to surrender. And you know what? Who are we surrendering our life to? I mean, I trusted this river rafter that I never met, you know, and he said, all he said to me was, I've been down this river 3,000 times. I'll make sure your family gets down safely. And I go, oh, okay. But he kind of lied to me. I mean, I trusted him, but we're trusting God, who wants everything that he wants for us is what's good for us. And so remember who we're trusting. We're trusting God of heaven. Martin Luther said, God made the world out of nothing, and it's only when we become nothing that God can make something out of us. And so let's surrender. It's not a bad thing. We hear that word surrender, submit, and we always think it's we're losing. You know, when we think of it in military terms, when we surrender, we're giving up. And we are giving up in our Christian life, but what are we giving up? We're just giving up our plans, giving them to the Lord, and he's making it so much better for us. My husband had a little sign for a long time in his office, and it became a prayer of mine. It said, Lord, I'm willing to receive what you give, to lack what you withhold, to relinquish what you take, to suffer what you inflict, to be what you require, and Lord, if others are to be your messengers to me, I am willing to hear and heed what they have to say. And so, ladies, let's surrender what our desires and our wants, and God gives them back in a greater abundance, better than we can ever imagine. Letter C is a process. It's continual. Now, if I could ever invent anything, I would like to invent a gas tank that never ran empty. I do not like going to the gas station. I don't like smelling like gas after you are there. I'm always afraid that there's going to be a spark. We have wind, if you haven't noticed, in Lancaster. And so there's a lot of static in the air, and I'm always thinking one of these days the car is just going to blow up. So I just hate getting gas. I just wish it was always on full, and I love getting in the car when I look at the gas tank and it's on full. I figure, this is a good thing. Well, that's how it is in our Christian life. It's a great thing when the Lord is in control and when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. But we need to make sure that we don't run on empty. Don't run on those fumes. And there are times in ministry we know when we're running on those fumes, where we've spent so much time maybe giving in ministry that we haven't taken the time to make sure that we're feeding ourselves and taking care of our spiritual life. Number one under the process is that we need to pray. We need to invite the Lord to be the Holy Spirit and confess any of the sin that's in our life. So we need to spend time in the prayer and invite the Lord to take the reins and to have control. And then number two, we need to spend time in the Bible. That's how we're going to know God intimately. That's how we're going to know what he wants for our life, what his plans are. Here we're saying, Lord, guide me, and then we don't read his word. You know, and I often tease and say, oh, if he'd only send me a letter. He did. If, you know, keep looking like there's going to be handwriting on the wall or something. But the Lord does guide us and give us direction in God's word. And so we need to make sure that we're reading it. Maybe you have seen that little comparison between our cell phones and our Bible. What would happen if we treated our Bibles like we have our cell phone? What if we carried around in our pockets or our purses? Now, I even sometimes carry my phone in my hand because I can never hear it. So if it's in my hand, it vibrates. I can feel it. But treating our Bible like we do our cell phone. What if we flip through it several times a day? What if we turn back to get it if we have forgotten it? What if we used it to receive messages from the text? What if we treated it like we couldn't live without it? Do you know people here in Lancaster stood in line down below, that's LA area, 5 hours to get the new iPhone? I wonder how many people would even sit in a service for 5 hours listening to God's word. What if we treated it like we couldn't live without it? What if we gave it to the kids as gifts? What if we used it when we traveled? What if we used it in case of an emergency? And if there's something, or have you ever said, where's my Bible? Where we probably couldn't find it. And unlike our cell phone, we don't have to worry about our Bible being disconnected because Jesus already paid the bill. So do we treat our Bible like we do our cell phone? We should. Number three, we should be obedient. We need to, one, pray, read our Bibles, and three, then do what God's word says in the Bible. We need to obey it, not just be hearers only. Deuteronomy 32:46 says, "And he said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe to do all the words of this law." And when we're yielding to the Holy Spirit, when we have surrendered and when have been praying and reading our Bible, guess what? There's going to be a characteristic difference in us. There's going to be a change. There's going to be a result. And let's see if we can see that. Have you noticed that you can tell a lot about the way a person walks? You know, you can tell. I can tell when my kids are walking. When they came home from school, I can tell by the way they walked if they had a good day or not a good day. You can tell when somebody has an attitude when they walk, the way they push their shoulders around. You can tell if somebody's bored when they're walking. You can tell if they're in a hurry when they're walking. And so we can tell a lot about a person's walk. And ladies, people are watching us. People in your church are watching you. Your neighbors are watching you. And they're wanting to see how you walk. And does your walk match your talk? We say that we rely on the Holy Spirit. We say we depend upon the Lord. But does our walk show it? A lot of times, I am out in public, and I am appalled about what I hear, about somebody yelling. You know, we were out to dinner one night and came out, and a man probably about 40 to 50 years old was yelling at his mother, who was, you know, 60 to 70 years old, and just using the worst language I ever heard. I mean, we went back into the restaurant, just yelling at her. You know what? He was being controlled by himself and by his temper. One time I was in a grocery store, and this was when we first came to Lancaster many years ago. And a lady was yelling at her child in an aisle over from me. And I kind of thought, I want to go see what this lady looks like. Because, you know, she was just yelling. And I thought, that poor child. And so I walked around the corner, and it was somebody from my church. I just kept walking. I didn't know what to do. I was a young pastor's wife. I don't know what I do now if that happened. I'd probably keep walking. But and I thought, oh, you know, how many people maybe saw her or heard her or her neighbors says they go to church every Sunday, and yet they're not being filled by the Holy Spirit. So it will make a difference if we're walking with the Holy Spirit. Letter A in your notes. It'll make a difference in our speech. In verse 19, it says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. So it's going to make a difference first in our speech. What do you talk about? Do you talk a lot about the scriptures and about the Lord? Have you ever been at a grocery store and you start talking to the lady like she's a church member? You know, you say, oh, that's a blessing. Or praise the Lord, that was on sale. Or, you know, you quote a scripture or something, and then you realize she probably doesn't know anything. You know, invite her to church first or ask if she's saved. But what do we talk about? Are we talking about what the Lord's doing in our life? Are we giving him praise? Are we being bitter or gossipers or just talking about things that don't really mean anything? If we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we should be talking about the things of the Lord more often. So it'll make a difference. And the Bible also says giving thanks. Are we thanking the Lord for what he gives us? It says, for all things. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, in everything give thanks. So the Lord wants us to be a thankful people. A lot of times, you know, you'll hear people complaining at their restaurant. They'll be complaining about the price of gas. They'll be complaining about groceries. And there's always something that we can find to be complaining about, but are we thankful? That's one of the characteristics of having a spirit-filled life. And then Psalm 34:1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall be continually in our mouth. And that's what the Lord wants us to be talking about, praising him, giving him the glory, and bringing honor to his name. Letter B, it'll make a difference in our song. And Brother Bishop was supposed to be here this year, and he couldn't be with us, but the last time he was here, in his message, he said there's a bird, and I don't remember the name, but when it stops singing, it's singing all the time, but when it stops singing, it'll die. And so that's how it should be for us. And have you noticed people that are going through a hard time, sometimes they stop singing? We have a friend, and she always has a song about the Lord. And right now she's going through a really difficult time. And I called her last week. And you would think that her voice would be down, that she probably wouldn't give much praise to the Lord. She definitely wouldn't be singing. But it was just the opposite. You know what? When I hung up the phone, I told my husband, she is such a spirit-filled woman. And that's what I want to be like. I want to be a spirit-filled woman. So when those trials come, when the circumstances come, that my song doesn't stop, that we keep singing. A lot of times I'll notice in church somebody not singing. And then later on I'll see them starting to miss church because they've let go and let the devil find a place. Let's not let that happen to us. Let's keep singing and giving, again, praise to the Lord. Acts 16:25, we see Paul did that. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. I have a song on a CD, and it's funny. Right now, I can't sing two words of the song. But when it goes on, I'm in my car, I'll just sing really loud, which is not a really good thing sometimes. But I'll just sing out, and it says, God wants to hear us sing. I think it's when the storms... Yeah, that's the song. You guys got it. See, I'll sing with you if you want to know. Come up. But God wants to hear us sing. So when those storms are raging around us, let's sing to the Lord. Let's not be complainers and wondering, why is this happening? Or, oh, this is so bad. And even though those things are true, we can still sing and give praise to the Lord. Letter C, it's going to make a difference in our submission to authority. And ladies, you know, if you are spirit-filled when there's a little disagreement at home, our response is so much different than it is when we're in the flesh. And he tells us there in verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. And that's much easier to do when I'm being filled with the Holy Spirit. I can't do that in my own flesh. So it's going to make a difference in our authority, in our submission to authority, not only with us, but with our children. When they're in submission, they're going to obey their parents. Later on in the next chapter, it talks about servants will be in subjection to their masters. And so our relationships will be right when we are being filled with the Holy Spirit. And letter D, it'll make a difference in our sensitivity to others. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. I like to do those little tests to see how I'm doing, to see what my score is. So here's a little test for us. Do I love those around me, including my enemies? Do I have inner joy regardless of my circumstances? Do I have inner peace? Am I patient or long-suffering in my circumstances? Would those around me, this is the one that made me think, would those around me think of me as kind? Would goodness be a quality that describes me? Do I have a faith-filled life? Do I treat those around me? How do I treat those around me? Am I gentle? Am I indifferent? Am I short? Do I have self-control over my flesh? Or does it control me? And ladies, if we answer no to any of those, we need to check our life because we're probably not being filled with the Holy Spirit. When we yield to the Spirit, the results will follow because the Spirit of God is working through us as opposed to us doing the work ourselves. We become the vehicle that God uses to accomplish his work. Now, about 3 years ago, there was a story on the news that intrigued me. There was a lady that lived in Florida, and maybe you remember this, and she lived in southern Florida, and a hurricane had hit, her home and pretty much destroyed the house. Well, her insurance gave her money to have the house fixed, but the contractor that she chose was not a good contractor, and he took her for her money and didn't finish the job. So here she has an unfinished house and no electricity and no money. So she was content. She went ahead and made do with what she had. And she lived in that house for 15 years. This was Hurricane Andrew that destroyed her house. She lived in that house for 15 years with no electricity and it being unfinished. None of the neighbors seemed to notice, but somehow the mayor did find out about what had happened. And he went, within 2 hours, he had the electricity restored to the house, and then they had other people work on the house. And the CBS News asked her, what's the first thing you're going to do? And she said, I'm going to fill the bath with hot water. She only took cold showers. She lived in Florida, if you've ever been there in the summer. You need air conditioning. She didn't have any of that. So then she said, then they asked her later, how does it feel to have electricity? And she says, it's just overwhelming. Now, my first thought when I heard that story is I was sad for the lady. And then I got to thinking, now what? That lady could have asked for help, and I'm sure somebody would have helped her. You know, then I started thinking she should have called the, this was not in the news, this was my commentary. She should have called the Better Business Bureau and done something. Do you know how many of Christians are content with just living without the power of the Holy Spirit? And then are just, they just say, oh well, this is my lot in life, you know, I don't have the power of the Holy Spirit. But it would be so easy for them to say, hey, I need a little help. Lord, you help me. They can go to a counselor, they can go to a pastor, whatever, to say, you know what, I need God's power in my life. Let's not live like that lady. 15 years, she went 15 years without a hot bath. I don't want to go one day without not having the filling of the Holy Spirit. So you've heard a lot about the Holy Spirit. Let's not leave this place still not desiring, really desiring to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer.
We trust this ministry workshop session was a blessing to you. Plan now to join us in the second week of July for Spiritual Leadership Conference 2011 as Lancaster Baptist Church celebrates 25 years of ministry. Let us know if there is any way we can be a blessing to you.